Creating Change with Doug Foresta, a show dedicated to creativity and emotional healing. Creating Change on Empower Radio.
EmpowerRadio.com.
Here's your host, Doug Foresta.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of Creating Change. I am indeed Doug Foresta, and today I'm going to talk about a topic. I was actually having this conversation yesterday. I'm working on putting together a TEDx talk about the topic that I'm going to talk to you today about, or at least part of that is about it. And it's about how to know when you're speaking your truth. And one of the questions that I was working with, I'll give a shout out to my good friend, Michelle Vandypass. If you ever are interested in putting together a TEDx talk or interested in working on a book, Michelle is definitely the person to talk to. And we were talking about this idea of how do you know when you're speaking your truth? And the first thing before I answer that question, and that's the topic today, is how do you know that you're speaking your truth? How do you find your truth? People always say, speak your truth, speak your truth. But not always that easy to figure out what we really want and what's what we really want, what we really need. So let's start with what are the obstacles that keep us from actually speaking our truth. And I think some of them are fairly evident, but the first thing that comes to mind is that at every opportunity in life, we are punished. This is the way I would put it. I would say that we are often punished and admonished by society for speaking our truth. And what I mean by that is, you know, here's an example that maybe you're not punished or admonished for, but certainly an example of how we have our own perspective. I don't know if you have siblings, but if you do, or even if you just have family members, and if you remember an event, you know, it's often very funny. I'll talk to someone, and I'm the oldest of six, so, you know, we talk about this sometimes. I talk with my younger siblings about this, and yeah, I'll remember something that was really, to me, was just this pivotal moment in my life. And my siblings will say, I don't remember that. You know, how could you not remember it? That was like the most important thing. Don't you remember when dad said this or mom did this? And they go, no, I don't remember that. I go, but you were right there. And it was so important in my life. And yet, you know, here you are growing up in the same household, side by side, the same experience. And yet, you know, for one of you, it's like that event is the most important thing that ever happened. And it's so pivotal. And then for someone else, it's like, no, I don't even remember that. So we all take in the world in different ways. So when I say our truth, what I really mean is I'm not talking about alternative facts. I'm talking about our truth is our perception, our point of view. This is how I see things. This is how I feel. This is how I experience whatever it is that's happening in the world. So, you know, so one of the things is that the problem is that we can have such different perceptions of things that are happening, even if we're actually in the same space and growing up in the same home. So imagine for those of us that don't, you could see how it's so easy to start fighting with each other about my experience is right and your experience is wrong. But then we go to school and there are wrong or right answers on the test. You cannot tell the teacher for the most part, you know, well, I thought that B was really, to me, B felt right. You know, that's not going to work, right? If the answer is A, then it doesn't matter if B felt right to you. So we figure out pretty quickly in the world that in order to survive, in order to get along, that we need to, in some ways, squelch our own voice and our own perception in order to get ahead. You know, another example would be with, you know, in top-down organizations that have, where you have a boss and your boss says, do this, and this is how I see it. And good luck saying to your boss, if it's a kind of organization where they're not open to feedback, good luck saying, you know what, I don't agree with you. I think we should do this. In a lot of organizations, now some organizations might say, you know what, yeah, that's a good point. I like that. But there are definitely places you work where if you share that perspective with your boss, right, and say, no, I don't agree with that. This is what I think. It good luck with that. As I said, you could really put yourself in a situation where you're putting your job at risk. So for all these reasons, we figure out that the safest thing to do in the world is to put our own point of view aside and to really make sure that we conform with society. I actually have a funny story for you before I go on to talk about this idea of how to know when you're speaking your own truth, talking about perception. I used to work with a gentleman. He was a manager. I used to work at the Millennium Broadway Hotel in New York City as a doorman. I had a manager who was in talking about perception. It was really interesting. He was in the Syrian Air Force during the they were going to be fighting the Israelis. This was in the early 1980s, and he said that they were trying to rile up the pilots to go fight the Israelis, and they said, "You are excellent pilots. You are the best pilots in the world. You are fantastic pilots," and all the pilots were super excited, and they're all pumped up to go up in the planes. And he said to himself, no, we are very bad pilots. he's like, that was a perception. He's like, my perception is that we were very bad pilots and that these planes were really not as good as the planes we were going to be up against. So he said, when they all went off to go up in their planes, he said, guys, I got to stay behind a minute. I just got to do something. I'll be right back. And he jumped out the back door, got in the car, drove to pick up his wife, and he ended up defecting and going to Iran. He left Syria. Now, what ended up happening is every single one of those planes that went up in the air got shot down. But he was a very funny guy, very jovial. And he said, I later joined forces with the Americans. He goes, I made my way from Iran. I made my way to Kuwait. He goes, and then he said, I actually was in Kuwait when Saddam Hussein came into the country and invaded in the 1990s. He said, and then I teamed up with the Americans to fight Saddam Hussein. And I couldn't picture him. I just couldn't picture him fighting. And I asked him, well, how did you team up with the Americans? And he said, well, I joined a catering company, and we fed the soldiers. And I said, well, what was the first Gulf War like? And he said, let me tell you, it was delicious. So it just reminds me of that when I think about perspective, for him, the Gulf War was delicious, but he teamed up with the Americans. So we all have, we all live through history. I mean, all of us, I would imagine if you're listening to this, have lived through things like 9/11 and other major historical events in history. And yet we have our own perception. We have our own perception of them. And why is it important? Here's another thing. It's that, we have our own perceptions of the world. And why is it important that we share that? Why is it important that we share our point of view? A couple of reasons. Let me give you some of the practical reasons first. The first practical reason is that, first of all, in terms of your business, and one of the things people always say is, how do I stand out? How do I get heard in your business and being a thought leader? It's really important that you have a unique point of view. So what ends up happening is all the things that we're taught when we're young about don't stand out, just conform, go along with everyone else, turn out to be pretty bad pieces of advice for when we're older and we actually do want to stand out. So we have this weird problem where when we're younger, we want to conform and conform and conform. And then we reach a point, though, where we want to stand out, right? If you're somebody who wants to be a thought leader, if you're somebody who owns an entrepreneur, you own a business, and one of our big problems is how do we stand out and get heard above the noise? And the answer is to have your own unique point of view. And yet it's the thing, like I said, that gets kind of beat out of us from a young age. So that's one reason why you would want to share your own point of view. The other reason that it's really important to share a unique point of view, and I think this is sort of the deeper spiritual reason, is I think that that's a big part of the reason why we're here, is to share our perspective on the world and to share our truth. That if you think about, what is the point of life, right? Not to get too philosophical here, but what is the point of life? Is the point of life to make sure that we catch up with, the next episode of America's Got Talent? Or is the point of life to evolve our souls? Is the point of life to really have experiences, to learn from them, and to share that wisdom with others? And I think that, that's one of the things that I always tell you on this show, is that the world really needs that. You have a responsibility to have wisdom and to share, to gain wisdom and to share that wisdom with others. So that's another reason, sort of a less practical, but I think no less important reason why it's important to share your truth. Now let's talk about how do you get to that? So I think that the best way that you can figure out what is your truth versus what is not, and to figure out what you need to say, is to listen to your body. Go somewhere quiet where you have a few minutes to be still and think about something that you need to share, or think about the work that you're doing, and think about when you think about sharing it, how does that feel in your body? Do you feel like your throat is constricted? Do you feel like your stomach is closing up? Or do you feel a sense of ease or a sense of calm? Your body will give you clues as to what's true for you or not true for you. Have you ever had this experience where someone said to you, hey, can you come to this party or can you come do this? And you really felt like something inside you said, man, I really shouldn't do this. This is a bad idea. But you're like, he's a good guy. I'll go to his party. What does it matter? Right. And then you end up going and it just turns into a nightmare. And you're like, oh my gosh, I really wish I hadn't done that. Why didn't I listen to that voice? Right. We all have that voice inside that says to us, this is not right. This is not your journey, or this is your journey. And our bodies will tell us as well. The sense that we get is oftentimes in our body. So learning to listen, learning to really get still and listen to your body and tune into your body is a great way to figure that out. It's also good for example, if you're thinking about relationships, whether that's romantic relationships or business relationships, and you're trying to figure out, should I get involved with this person? Should I join business partnership with someone? Is how do I feel? How do I feel around them? You know, how do I feel in my body? Is there something just off? We have this amazing ability to really kind of determine and sense when something is off for us. And it doesn't mean that that person is bad. It doesn't mean that whatever the thing is bad. It just means it's not a fit for us. And to the degree to which we compromise that and we don't listen to that voice, in my experience, it just never goes well. You know, and I've had so many experiences like that, and I'm sure you can probably relate to this, where you end up saying, boy, why didn't I listen to that voice that said I should stay home on the couch tonight? And why, you know, why did I go out? Why did I do this? Why did I do this thing? I should have done something else. One of the questions, though, that, as like I said, I was talking to my friend Michelle Vandypass, and one of the things she pointed out that was actually a very good point was that, but what if speaking your truth itself requires courage, right? To speak up and to say, this is how I see the world, does require courage. And how do you tell the difference between, for example, maybe you feel constricted in your throat when you think about saying yes to something that you really wanted to say no to? How do you change, or how do you distinguish that from just the nerves and anxiety that you might get speaking to 1,000 people at a conference where you really do want to share what you're saying, but you just feel nervous and maybe your voice feels constricted there too? And that is a good point, and I think there's a subtle distinction. But what I think is that the way to tell the difference is when you are by yourself, when you are alone. Ralph Waldo Emerson, in his book Self-Reliance, said, these are the voices that we hear in silence, but they grow faint and inaudible as we enter the world. That we have these voices that we hear when we're alone, that we should do this, and we should do that. And then they grow faint and inaudible as we enter the world, because the world, with all of its pressures, drowns out our truth. It's not like people wake up in the morning and they say, boy, you know what? I'm going to go drown out Doug's truth. You know, that's my goal for today. That's not what it is. People are just doing what they're doing, right? And we generally don't like people to disagree with us or challenge our worldview because it makes us uncomfortable. And so that's where you end up. That's what ends up happening is we end up trying to be around people who agree with us, and we don't necessarily always love people that disagree with us. So again, it's in the quiet moments. I think the best way to distinguish and go inside is in these quiet moments. If you do it while you're on stage, you're going to be too nervous and hopped up to tell the difference, right? That's not the place to do it. The place to do it is to get quiet. The other thing that I want to point out is that just setting the intention to actually ask yourself the question, what is true for me right now? What is true for me? How often do we ever get encouraged to do that? How often do we get encouraged to really ask ourselves, what is true for me? People are always telling us what's true, right? This is the person you should vote for. This is the political party that's right for you. Hey, this is the car you should get. I don't know about you, but from the time, you know, my experience is I said it doesn't stop until you're dead. You know, you start with your kid and people say, okay, you should go to this school. And then you go to high school and you should go to this college. Okay. And then you go to college. You should major in this. And then you get out and they say, you should go in this job. You should go in this career. Change this. Do this. Marry this person. Have this kid. Go to this. Live in this house. And it doesn't end, you know, until if you try to go pick out a coffin, you know, try to get your funeral arrangements. And they go, you're going to go in that coffin? Why do you want that coffin? That's a terrible coffin. You don't want that coffin. You want the nice wooden mahogany one with the nice bedazzled lining inside, whatever it is, right? And then finally, when they put you in the ground, then people leave you alone. But I don't know about you, but I don't want to wait till I'm dead to know that I'm finally able to make my own choices and decisions. So what I encourage you to do is to really, it takes a bit of courage, because to ask the question, what is true for me, takes the courage to be able to listen to the answer. And the answer sometimes may change our lives in such a way that it's, you know, you don't know. And that's what's scary about doing it. And, you know, again, when you think about truth and you think about your truth, what I'm talking about is your perception of the world, your point of view, how you see things. And the other pieces that we need to be able to, and we'll talk more about this in future episodes, but we need to be able to create opportunities for ourselves to share our truth. And if you are in a situation where everyone in your life is pressuring you or pushing you to do things that don't feel like you, then that's probably a good sign that you need to be doing something else, that you need to be, or you need to be surrounding yourself with people who value the ability for you to speak your truth. And even if the nice part is, it doesn't mean you're not asking people to agree with you. You're not telling people this is what you should believe too, or this is what you should do. You're saying, this is what's true for me. If you think about any great work of poetry or art or music, at the core of it, it's really about the self-expression and an expression of our truth. And I think I had said this to you in a previous episode, but Rainer Marie Rilke, in Letters to a Young Poet, one of the questions that Rainer Marie Rilke was asked was, how do you know if someone is, if a work of art is good? And what Rilke said is, a work of art is good if it comes from necessity. And what necessity means, I take necessity to mean, it comes from your truth. It comes from what you needed to express. It's interesting, because I'll give you an example in the screenwriting world, where I started off in playwriting and screenwriting. And in the screenwriting world in the 1990s, in the mid-90s, Quentin Tarantino was the hottest director around. And he was doing, he did Pulp Fiction and a lot of other movies. And so he did these crime thriller movies. And so all of a sudden, every screenwriter, I remember at the time I was taking some classes in New York, and everybody wanted to be Quentin Tarantino. They all wanted to write the next Pulp Fiction. They were all writing things that sounded like Quentin Tarantino. Now, the thing about Quentin Tarantino is that he is a super video, he was a video geek at the time, and he was a video store clerk, which of course doesn't even exist anymore, and he would watch all of these movies that you and I would probably never watch, all these Hong Kong movies and all these different movies, and he put it together in his own imagination to create these wild crime thriller movies that were just like nothing that we had ever seen. The problem is that Pulp Fiction and other Tarantino movies came from Tarantino's truth. That was his truth. You know, whether you like his movies or not, that came from his truth. That was an expression of his truth and his perception of the world. What other people were doing was They simply wanted the fame, and they wanted, you know, they wanted the wealth and fame that Tarantino had. So they thought, if I match his voice, if I say what he says, if I sound like him, then I'll have what he has. But that's not how Tarantino started. Tarantino didn't have a Tarantino in front of him. Yes, he had all these other movies that he copied, but he made them his own. He made the style his own original style. And he didn't do it with the intention of trying to copy other people to get what he wanted. And you could see that in so many different forms of art and music. You know, somebody comes out with a song, and all of a sudden everybody, you know, there's 12 songs that sound just like it, right? Because that song became really hot and it blew up, and now everyone's trying to make a song like that. But it doesn't work. It doesn't work because the best thing that you have to offer the world, and this is the irony of it, and again, we'll talk more about this in future episodes about how to cultivate a daily practice of doing this, but the most important thing that you have to offer is your truth. So get still, go in a room, get a piece of paper or a pad, or you could record yourself, and take a few minutes. It doesn't have to take long. And ask yourself this question: what do I really need to say? How do I see the world? And what is my truth? And notice when you write it down, you know, if you write the stuff down and you record it, notice how you feel in your body. Notice if it feels exciting to you. It's okay if it feels a little scary, right? It's okay to feel a little scared. That's not a sign. In fact, I think if you're scared, it probably means you're getting closer to saying something that you really want to say. And, you know, write that down. And then you can also sit with it for a little bit. You can give it a couple of days and come back to it and say, does that seem like really what I think or what I feel? And one of my challenges to you, and one of the things that I've been trying to do for myself, is if you're on social media or if you're sharing with friends, to really hold yourself to the bar of not just repeating what other people are saying, not parroting what other people are saying. There's so much of that on social media. You know, share this meme, do not copy, you know, I love the, you know, do not share, copy and paste. That's the big one I see on Facebook now all the time. You know, somebody writes something, I don't even know who wrote it originally because they didn't write it originally, and copy and paste. It gets copied and pasted 1,000 times. I don't want you to copy and paste. I want you to think about, what are the topics I care about? How do I see the world? What matters to me? If you ask yourself these fundamental questions, you're going to get better answers. And again, I think it takes courage to even ask ourselves the questions because we're so discouraged from being able to ask those questions. And what do you get on the other side of it? Well, what you get on the other side of it is information that you can use in sharing your brand and in enhancing your brand. When people say, why should I work with you and not somebody else? It gives you the opportunity to tell them that. And then another topic, which as we're wrapping up here, just to say that this will be a whole other episode, but another thing that it allows you to do, and this is a conversation I'm going to be having in a couple weeks at a leaders conference, is that when you find and hone and speak your truth, it makes you, by default, you become a true leader. Because a leader is someone, in my estimation, a leader is someone who is original. A leader is someone who, we think of leadership sometimes as a position. You know, I'm the leader of this organization, right? I'm in charge of it. But that's not necessarily leadership, right? That's a position. Leadership as a position versus true leadership. When you speak your truth and you find your truth, you become a leader, and there is a magnetic, there's something magnetic about it. People will want to be around you. They will want to be associated with you because you are speaking your truth. And then as Marianne Williamson said, as we become liberated, our presence automatically liberates others. So that's been my experience. You know, whenever I feel scared or constricted in speaking my truth and worrying about what the repercussions of that will be, I try to realize that the ripple effect that we have, it's not just about me, right? It's about we become an example for others that we can do that. And we're lucky that we live in an age and time and a place where we can speak our truth, no matter what's happening in the world. You know, if you're listening to this and you live in a free country, whether it's the United States or Canada or anywhere else, we're lucky that we have that ability, right? Throughout history, many, many people, and even now, in parts of the world, people don't have that opportunity. And yet we squander that, you know, that we squander that opportunity. So don't do that. Instead, keep creating. The world needs your voice. This is Doug Foresta. I'll be back next time with another episode of Creating Change.